Nobody wants to be sick. Everybody desires health. I think the very fact that we see such a great sale of vitamins and health foods and things like that, those who go out and run around the track and get exercise, people desire to be healthy. People want health. But what about our souls? I sometimes wonder, are we as concerned about the health of our soul as we are concerned about the health of our bodies? What about spiritual health? Here in this portion, John mentions in verse 2 something very unique about Gaius. He says, "Beloved, I wish that above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Isn't that a great thing? He says, "Gaius, the best thing I could wish for you is that you would have just as good physical health as you have spiritual health." Now that just might be a bane or a blessing, but apparently, in the case of Gaius, John considered it would be a blessing if he could have the physical health equivalent to the spiritual health that he had. And God wants us to have spiritual health. Now, health requires life. You can't be dead and healthy. In the first place, your pulse is too slow when you're dead to have a normal pulse that health requires. And so the first thing that we need if we're going to have a healthy soul is we have to be alive. We have to be made alive. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 that Paul says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And until we come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead in rebellion against God. We are spiritually dead until we come to know Jesus Christ, receive Him as our personal Savior. Paul says in the previous verse, he says, "You hath He quickened. You hath He made alive." In other words, He has given life, spiritual life, to you Ephesians, who before time were dead in your rebellion against God, your trespasses and your sins. So the first step to have a healthy soul is to be made alive. Ye must be born again, says the Scripture. "Marvel not," said Jesus to Nicodemus, "that I say unto you, you must be born again." You need to be born. To have physical life, we had to be born physically. And to have spiritual life, we have to be born spiritually. And so the first step of spiritual health is to be born. We're born again, as the Word tells us, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And so we are born again by means of the message of the Word of God, as we read in the Scriptures that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that we must repent of our sins and believe on Him, and we come to Him, and by the Spirit of God we are then born into the family of God. This is also seen in 3 John by the fact that the word truth is repeated 7 times, 14 verses. And the word truth repeated 7 times, because the truth of God, the Word of God, is indispensable to being born of God, born into the family of God. It's indispensable for spiritual health. And so the first step of spiritual health is we need to have life. We need to have spiritual life. We need to be born into God's family by His Spirit through the Word. Now, once spiritually alive, we must then develop spiritual health by personal application of the Word of God to our hearts and lives by the Spirit of God. Health then begins when we are born and must be continued as we grow in Christ. Now, there are 3 areas that John mentions here in this short epistle, 3 areas that he gives us, in which he gives us specific help. First of all, in verses 1 through 4, John tells us that for spiritual health, these are the things that we need in our personal lives. Verses 1 through 4, our personal lives. Then verses 5 through 10, the things that are needed in our service for God. Then verses 11 through 14, that which is needed in our friendships. Now these are not all-inclusive. In other words, we aren't covering here all the areas of spiritual growth. But I believe John here mentions these three specific areas that are very helpful and very needful in our lives today. Specific things that promote spiritual health. First of all, in our personal lives, verses 1 through 4. In verse 1, John says, speaking to Gaius, he calls him well-beloved. And then he says, whom I love in the truth. It was interesting to me here to note how specific John mentioned his love for Gaius. He calls him well-beloved, and then he says, Gaius, I really love you in the Lord. I really appreciate you. And I believe one of the things that is needed for spiritual health, to have a healthy soul, once we have come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, is that we need to learn to express our love verbally. Now, for some people, this is harder than others. For some people, it's easier than others. Verbal expression of love. For me, this has not always been easy. It's something I've had to work at very diligently. Some would say, well, but if it's something you have to work at, if you have to work at expressing love verbally, then it gives you the feeling that you're saying something that isn't true. No. It isn't that you're saying something that isn't true. It's rather that you're expressing something that's there that you haven't been used to expressing. Because I do love, but I just tend not to express. And I believe that God wants us to take this suggestion from the Apostle John and to develop this area in our life of verbally expressing our love for others. I believe that we need special projects. We need to make specific projects of saying to others in word and in deed, I love you. And sometimes I think it's good for us to ask ourselves, how long has it been since I have said to my wife, I love you, or to your husband, or to your children? How long has it been since you've told them that you love them? And that's a good place to start. We can go from there on out to our family. You know, as we learn to do things at home, then we're able to share these same things outside of the home. And so the home is a good place to practice, a good place to learn, to develop projects on telling people that we love them. And John here sets the example, says, Brother Gaius, I really love you in the Lord, in the truth. If the word love you bothers you because of the gay society, I think the word appreciate also is a very useful word. That we really appreciate someone is another form of saying I love you in Christ. And so the first step that he tells us here, if we want a healthy soul, we're going to have to develop the ability to verbally express our love. Secondly, verse 2, he says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. John here was very attentive in noticing the spiritual growth of Gaius. And I believe that there's a definite place of noticing and praising spiritual growth. I believe it was an encouragement to Gaius here that the Apostle John took notice that he had grown spiritually. And I believe it makes us want to grow more when people notice what we do grow. And so John noticed and mentioned the spiritual growth in the life of Gaius. Now this is something also that we often don't do with our children. We notice all the bad things that they do, but we don't notice the good things. And I believe that we need to let our children, as well as other people, know not only what displeases us, but we need to let them know what pleases us, What is it that really makes us happy? What is it that we really appreciate in them? And John here was very specific in doing this with Gaius. He said, brother, is that I notice and appreciate your spiritual growth. In fact, he said, I noticed it to the point where I could wish that you had the same physical health as you have spiritual health. Verse 3, the third thing that John brings out here, he mentions in verse 3, brethren, he says. He says, there were brethren who came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He said, I rejoice greatly, because as some of the brethren came to visit me, they told me about you, and they told me how you're growing in the Lord, and how faithful you are to the Lord, and how you're going on in the things of God. The brethren came and told me this. And I think the third thing we need to develop to have a healthy soul is that we need to be gossipers of good news. Now, bad news travels fast, but good news seems to die. And I believe a healthy soul is one that has learned to pass on the good news, to repeat compliments to the person involved. Now, it's one thing, for example, if someone helps me and I say, you know, I really appreciate that, thank you very much. And then during the week, I happen to run into his nephew. I mentioned to his nephew, I just appreciated so much what he did. You know, I was with your uncle last week, and you know, he really helped me. I really appreciated what he did for me. Then he goes back to his uncle. He said, you know, he said, I was talking with this other person, and he mentioned to me how you helped him and how helpful what you did was. Well, you see, when he says that, then this uncle realizes, well, just to have thanked me to my face is, you know, sometimes you feel that they're supposed to do that or they feel they ought to do that. But when it comes around through another person, that they took the time and trouble to tell another person how much you helped them, you think, well, they really must have appreciated that. And I think we need to be gossipers of good news. And we need to pass on the compliments that are mentioned to us about other people. I think it encourages us. And we need encouragement. And we ought to really set a program of letting the bad news die and passing the good news on. And that's what John here is doing. He's setting us the example and encouraging us in this. Then in verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. John here was telling him directly how much he encouraged him. What an encouragement he was to him. He says, Gaius, I just don't have any greater joy than to hear how you're going on with God. You are a blessing to me. Your love for Christ is a challenge to me. And I confess that as I thought on this chapter, I could remember many cases of people who have been a real blessing to me, a real challenge to me, and I really didn't take the time to tell them so. I received the blessing and I accepted the challenge, but I can think of many cases where I didn't say so. And John here was very careful to tell Gaius. He says, you make me really happy. Your love for Christ gives me real joy. And I believe we need to make a project of this, of expressing to others specifically the ways in which they are a blessing and a challenge and a help to us. Then the second area that John mentions here is in our service for God. Things that promote and indicate spiritual health in the matter of service for God. Verses 5 through 10. I think we have two things in these verses 5 through 10. John in these verses, first of all, teaches us that we should encourage one another, and secondly, that we should warn one another. First of all, in verse 5, he tells him, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. He said, beloved, Brother, you're doing a good job. That which you are doing for God, you are faithful in it. You know what God tells us in the Word? Jesus himself said it's required in a steward, Paul that said, it's required in a steward that he be found faithful. And John here was very specific. He said, Gaius, you are being very faithful in the work, the ministry that God has placed you in. The specific task that God has given you, you're being faithful in that. You can't have a better compliment than that, because that's what God requires, that we be faithful. We can't all be famous, but we can all be faithful. And that's what Gaius was being. And John encourages him. He says, brother, you might not be known all around the world, but I just want to tell you before God, I notice your faithfulness for him in your service. And then, besides that, verse 6, he says, thou shalt do well. He says, keep on in your faithfulness. That which you are doing, you are being faithful. And so he said, I want to encourage you to keep on being faithful. If thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. And so keep it up. Keep on in this faithful ministry that you are doing. And then verses 7 and 8, he mentions being a fellow helper. I said, these people that are out preaching the gospel that you are receiving, they went out for his name's sake, taking nothing of the Gentiles, and we ought therefore to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And so John says we need to help one another. We need to encourage one another. And Gaius was being an encouragement to these itinerant preachers in that he was bringing them in and providing for them and encouraging them and sending them on their way with God's blessing. He said, our ministry is to be fellow helpers of the truth. Now that means our ministry basically is designed that we should seek to help others become successful. These itinerant preachers would have had a very difficult time in the ministry that God had called them to if there weren't people like Gaius who would receive them in and provide their needs and encourage them. And so they needed to work together. And so Gaius's ministry then was seeking to help these itinerant preachers be successful in their ministry. And being a fellow helper means that we have the desire and the burden to encourage others and to seek to make them successful in the work that God has given them to do. First of all, then encourage one another. Secondly, warn one another. In verse 9, John mentions Diotrephes. He said, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now, Diotrephes was the man who wanted to be on the top of the pile. He was the man who was seeking personal glory. He wanted to be the boss, the leader. And as soon as we desire personal glory, our ministry stops. Right there. And Diotrephes' ministry stopped the minute he wanted to be the top of the pile. God will bless the person who doesn't care who gets the credit and who wants God to get the glory. And when our desire is that God get the glory, and we don't care who gets the credit, that's when God uses us. But God, Diotrephes here, had a different outlook. He wanted to be the top of the pile. He wanted the glory for himself. He wasn't desirous of a servant's heart, as we mentioned before. A fellow helper or a servant's heart is getting excited about making other people successful. He wanted to be the successful one. And he had not only a desire for preeminence, he had a rebellious spirit. Verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, talking against the apostles. We read here that he was a rebellious person. Now, this rebellion of Diotrephes, first of all, John says he was prating against us with malicious words. He was rebellious against the apostles. He was rejecting those whom God had placed in authority over him. And secondly, it says that he would cast out of the church brethren who weren't in accord with him. And so the other side of it was that he was abusing those who were under him. Now these two things always go together. When you find a person who rejects the authority that is over him, you will also find a person who will abuse those who are under him. And you can plan on this. You might not see it right away, but it will show up. The person who rejects the authority that is over him will abuse the people that are under him. And so we need to beware of this desire to be boss. This rejection of authority, rebellious spirit, desire for preeminence. Jesus said, those who would be chief among you, let them be servants, the servant of all, because I cannot conquer until I have been conquered. And so to be the chief, we need to be the servant of all. I think that that is one thing that has been a blessing to me here in this church. The desire, the willingness of each of you to work for the Lord. And yet at the same time, the willingness to let others work for the Lord. You know, it's a great thing to be willing to do it, a job, and yet to be willing not to have to do it. It's a tremendous thing to have the willingness to do it or to let someone else do it. You're willing to get out there and work, you're willing to let someone else have opportunity. And I think that's a great thing. This is what Diotrephes did not have. He wanted to be the boss. And he wanted to run it. And we find here the destruction and misery that he was causing in that church. Then the third area that John mentions is the area of friendships. In verses 11 through 14, things that promote spiritual health in the area of friendships. In verse 11, John tells Gaius that he should avoid harmful friendships. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And so we need to avoid harmful friendships. We need to avoid those who are not desirous of spiritual growth. Now, no matter where a person is, if he wants to grow in godliness, you can help him. You can have a helpful friendship with a person, no matter where he is, if he has a desire to grow in godliness. But no matter where he is, saved or unsaved, whether he's a preacher or a layman, no matter where he is, if he's not desirous of growing in godliness, your relationship with him will be harmful to you. It will be a harmful relationship. I don't care if he knows his Bible backwards, forwards, and upside down. If he does not have a basic desire to grow in godliness, it will be a harmful relationship to you. John here tells Gaius, be careful about your friendships. Avoid harmful friendships. You remember, was it last week? The week before, we were talking about the fact that each of us travels 17 million miles a day without realizing that we've even moved. Without even knowing you went anywhere, yesterday you traveled 17 million miles. And we can be moving away from God at a tremendous pace without even realizing it. And so John here warns Gaius. He says, be careful of your friendships. Avoid harmful friendships. Verse 12, he tells him to seek helpful friendships. He says, now Demetrius hath a good report. A good report of all men, known godliness. Demetrius hath a good report of the truth. He's known for his love of the Word of God. Demetrius hath a good report of the apostles. He says, you know, our record is true, and we're giving record that he's a good man. So there was no rebellion in Demetrius. He had a good report from the apostles, a good relationship with the authority that was over him. And so John says, now, Demetrius, that's the kind of friend you want to seek. There's no rebellion. He has a good relationship with authority. He's known for his love of the Word of God. He's known for his desire for godliness. That's the kind of person you want to seek for a friend. That's the kind of helpful friendship that you want. Now, I don't care where he is. He might be a babe in Christ and way behind you spiritually as far as your knowledge of the things of God. But if these are his qualities, he's a good friend for you. He might not even be saved. But if these are his desires, he's a good friend for you because you're going to be able to help him. But no matter where he is, if this is not his testimony, you don't want him. I don't care if he's been sitting in a church for 50 years. He would be a harmful friendship to develop. We need friendships of those who will challenge us to grow in Christ. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And we need helpful friendships. So John says to Gaius, now you avoid Diotrephes. You can't help him, and he will ruin you. But you seek out Demetrius, because together you will grow in Christ, and you'll really go places together. So we need to seek friends that will help us. And then in verse 14, John says, I've written this little bit to you, but I don't want to write anymore because I want to see you and talk face to face. And I want you, in the meantime, to salute our friends by name. John here gives us the idea that he had some very close friends there with Gaius, and he himself was close with Gaius. And I believe we need two other kinds of friendships, two kinds from a different aspect. We need some close friends. Those that we speak face to face and eyeball to eyeball, salute by name. We need some close friends. Of those that will be a helpful friendship to us. Mutually helpful. Not just getting always, or not just giving always, but mutually helpful. We need close friends. On the other hand, we also need general friendships. We need to avoid cliques. Sometimes a person will latch on to one other person, and that's the only person he will recognize, the only friend he will have, and that's not good. We need general friendships also. We need to avoid cliquishness. So we do need general friendships, and we also need specific, close friendships. There are some people that are on just a speaking acquaintance with everybody, but they don't have anybody that they can really get close to and really share with. And we have to share. We have to share with people. We need to share of ourselves. They need someone with whom they can share of themselves so that we can grow together in the things of Christ. And so John had some close friendships there, as well as I'm sure he had many acquaintances. And so John says, in the area of our friendships, there are things that we can do to promote spiritual health. And I was amazed in a short epistle like this, only 14 verses, about a dozen basic principles for good soul health, good spiritual health that I need to work on, that I need to develop in my life. And these are ways that God wants us, first of all, to have spiritual life by coming to Christ, and then, secondly, to have a healthy spiritual life, a healthy soul, as we grow in our knowledge of Him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning that our spiritual life comes from you. And then you have provided for us in your word all that is needed, all the wonderful promises and challenges and exhortations that we need to develop a healthy soul. And Father, as your children, you want us to be healthy. You don't want us to be sick. You don't want us to be ill, deformed. You want us to be healthy, children of thine. And so we pray that you would help us to develop these areas that you speak to us about in your word, that we might grow in Christ. And then we might have the joy of sharing this growth with others and of being mutually helpful one to another as we have this basic desire to grow in godliness and in the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing in closing hymn number 206. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Perhaps this morning God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you have never received Jesus Christ as personal Savior and you recognize you do not have spiritual life. You don't know what a personal relationship with God is. And this morning, this is your opportunity. We'd invite you to slip out of your seat, come forward as we sing, and this morning, publicly receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've been born again, but somewhere along the line, you stopped. That is, you thought you had stopped. Actually, we don't stand still. We're either going forward or backward. And you've been going backward. And you want to stop that. You want to grow spiritually. You say, if my physical health were made equal to my spiritual health, I would be in sad shape this morning. You want to make that right this morning. You want to get back going in the other direction. You'd just like to slip out of your seat and come as we sing. We invite you to come. Get it right with God today. Let's stand and sing.